a father's Christmas commitment. Last week from John chapter 3:16, we just took note of the Father's depth of commitment. God so loved the world that He gave. That was our key word, and we continue with that this morning. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A Christmas commitment. We also, again, sought to remind you of the perhaps an arbitrary definition of love, that it is an unmerited, undeserved, unconditional, unending commitment to an imperfect person or to an unlovable person. And that word gave that we see in John 3:16 is a word that oftentimes presents the sense of commitment. An action taken, an agreement made in which there can be no retreat, no recalculation, no rearrangements. When the Father gave, He committed Himself to provide a Redeemer, and vitally important as well, to preserve all those for whom His Son would die. Literally, the die was cast. There could be, on the part of God the Father, no turning back. There would be no elaborate loopholes. The Father, as we pointed out last week, is no Indian giver. He does not break His word. We took note of that as we saw the Father's commitment defined in, just point out one reference from last week in 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, where we read that the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Number of other places we visited, but here I want you with me this morning to begin with at John chapter 6, where again for the third instance, or in the third instance, the Father's commitment is displayed. The Father's Christmas commitment is seen here in John 6, and verse 37 as we begin, by this statement, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Please take note of that and be grateful for it. As you sit here this morning, children of God, having been saved by the grace of God, saved through the shed blood of Christ, you came to Christ because the Father had made a commitment from before the foundation of the world that He would, in His own providential, sovereign disposition, bring you to a place at a point in time where you would collide with the cross, hear the gospel message, bow the knee, and simply believe what He said. John 3:16. That, instead of becoming an abstract, was personalized by you. I'm sure that you probably remember having occurred. You may not remember the time, you may not be able to recollect the details, but you know that you are alive in Christ as you sit here today, just as much as you know that you are alive physically, even though you cannot look back to the time you were born and say that I was born at such and such a time and such an hour. Anything that you may know of your physical birth is merely secondhand. Somebody somewhere along the line told you that. The only reason you have birthdays physically is because somebody started you out that way and they happened to tell you that you were born on such and such a day. Yes, this was the day that the blessed event happened. What more could you say but believe it? And how could you dispute it? Because you were standing there alive. You were breathing. You can't dispute it, even though you don't know exactly how or where perhaps that came to pass. Spiritually, it may be the same. Where you're sitting here today, you know as you sit here that you are alive in Christ. You are no longer dead in trespasses and sin. You are alive in Him. And that we find due to what the Father has expressed in verse 37. All that the Father giveth me. There's the key word, give. There it is once again. All that the Father giveth me shall come, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now there is in that word there, in no wise, a double negative that we can take great confidence in the power of the Father above when he says, I will not in any way, under any circumstances, no, never, not ever cast out. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And if you've been saved, and you're sitting here today alive in Christ, you need to know that the gift the Father committed to you in the person of His Son will never be retracted. Never be retracted. Your life may be good, it may be bad, it may be just plain ugly. But makes no, never mind, good, bad, or ugly, if you've been saved by the grace of God, He has made a commitment to you. He will never cast you aside. As a matter of fact, verse 39 in this chapter, this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, there's that word again, of all that He has given me, I should lose nothing. Nothing. And again, that's an absolute negative. I should lose not one soul, not one thing, not under any circumstances. I will lose none. And then in the 40th verse, this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now that's commitment. That is unending commitment. And the point of all this is, as we understand the Father's commitment, is to have you roll over in your mind continuously to determine what is the degree of your commitment to Him. What is the degree of your commitment to your Heavenly Father? This is the will of Him, very clear, said Jesus. Everyone that seeth and believeth may have everlasting life. That's commitment expressed, unending. Now slide over to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth forth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And he proceeds in verse number 7 to identify himself as the door of the sheep. He proceeds again in verse 8 to identify everybody who came before him professing to do likewise as thieves and robbers. But the sheep didn't hear them. He says again, I am the door in verse number 9. Verse number 10, I am come that they might have life, the sheep. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then in verse number 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. Now, that said, look please at verse number 28. We have the key word again in verse 28. And I give, there's that word of commitment, I give unto them eternal life. Unending commitment. And they shall never, there's that double emphasis again, they shall never, never, never perish. Neither shall any man, not any man ever, not any one man in any time, whether mortal or demon, not one man, not one creature, says here, shall be able to pluck them out of my hand. Not one. Now that's a pretty rock solid commitment and a guarantee on the part of the Father. A commitment. Now just as an interesting sidelight, that word pluck is the same Greek word that you will find in your favorite I'm going home passage in 1 Thessalonians 4, where it talks about our being caught up together with them in the clouds. It is the Greek word harpazo, and it means to snatch away. Here it is said that no man shall be able, not any man, not at any time, will be able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. None. I will give unto them eternal life. In the 29th verse, my Father which gave them me, there's that word again, my Father which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now go to John chapter 17. You pretty near had to give Tyler oxygen last week when he read through this particular chapter for scripture reading. He was running out of wind toward the end. John chapter 17. Again, keep your eyes attentive. Put your eyes on the text itself and see this key word over and over and over again expressing the Father's commitment. Verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said. Okay, now keep in mind, now we're within hours. We're within hours of the Father's, when the Father's Christmas gift would be given, where the commitment that he made would be sealed. Okay? These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Please notice how where it starts now. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give, key word, give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's commitment. But it's a specific commitment. It is a commitment that is made only to those people that the Father gave him. The only commitment that the Father is obliged to is the commitment he himself makes to specific individuals. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Then verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That work is the cross work. That's the cross work. Now it is that, listen, weigh that. Jesus is saying, I have finished the work. And he's still yet hours away from actually being nailed to the cross. How is it that he said, I have finished it? When in fact he had not yet arrived there at Calvary. Well, please understand how God thinks. That in the mind of the Father, shared with sympathy, in the mind and the heart of the Son, it was counted as by him as that which was already done. The only thing had to be accomplished was the actual performing of it. But in the mind and heart of God, it was something that was already done. It was already sealed. God was not holding back, waiting to see. Mystified as to who on the planet would receive the gift before he decided to pull the trigger. So, no, bad joke. Before he decided to spring the trap. He did not. He was not in any doubt as to who would be the ultimate recipients of the crosswork. In his heart and mind, it was all finished. It now just waited the accomplishment at Calvary's cross as it unfolded. And in verse number 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou, gavest me out of the world. Thine they were. When? Before the foundation of the world. And thou gavest them, there's that word again, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And you come down to verse number 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse number 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast what? Given me. For they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Then you come to the 11th verse and commitment again. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast, next word is, given me, that they may be one as we are. That they may be one as we are. Verse number 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou, next word is, those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And how many of them was lost? But the son of perdition. Now he's specifically speaking at this point about his close little circle of disciples, his followers, the apostles, so to speak. Now it expands, it enlarges. He says there in verse number 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. But then we come into the next section. And what is verse 20? Where is it? This opens the door and lets you sit down inside this room for discussion. Verse 20 opens the door, allows me and you to enter into this discussion. Up to this point, he's talking specifically about those apostles, those immediate followers of his. Now, the discussion enlarges. The Father's commitment is broadened. Neither pray I for these alone, verse 20, but for them also which shall believe on me through what? That Bible that you hold in your hands is an authoritative copy of those words. And it is the gospel that was printed on the pages of this book that you read, you believed by the grace of God, and your faith was cast upon Him. It is because of this word that you hold in your hands and the gospel that was preached, believed by you, that God the Father forgave you of your sins. And that's who he's praying for here. That's now, those folks, you and I are now, from this point going forward, beyond the apostles, are included in the discussion. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have what? Given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. tremendous portion of Scripture. There in verse 24 we read, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. The saying, as we read over in chapter 18, verse number 9, these words, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Now that should blow away any doubts you may have about your soul's conversion. If you have doubts this morning about whether or not you have ever trusted Christ, I would first of all urge you to find some place today, get down on your knees and settle that account with God. But if in fact you find yourself convinced that you have trusted Christ and that He has loved you with an everlasting love, then please understand that what you read in verse number 9, that the Father's Christmas commitment to you in the giving of His Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, applies right here in verse 9. Of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. That means all the saints from the first century to this present day, those who died the martyr's death, those who died of sickness or disease, those who died just simply of natural causes, those who died in airplane crashes, automobile crashes, those who died in terrible storms of one kind or another, those who died in the fields of battle, saints forgiven, have all come before you. And of all them, saved by the grace of God, it is said here in the Word, I have lost none. That's what makes the resurrection truth so grand. I remind you of what we discovered early in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received Him, the Father's Christmas gift, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. To them He gave His Word. To them He gave the Word, a commitment. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The only begotten of the Father Himself committed to the cross out of love for a world made up of people like you and me. There, my friends, delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, the Father's determination in His commitment was made before the world was formed. And it will never, never, ever be rescinded. My dear friends, we'd like to believe, and I hope that it is true of you as it is with me, that a verse like John 3:16 never becomes so simple and so to be so trite and meaningless, but it is absolutely chock full loaded with goodies. The Father so loved the world. Who? Take away the generic. Take away the nonspecific. Include your name in that. For God so loved Joyce Laird, Bob Laird, Dick Barnhart, Brent Barnhart. God so loved Roger Wiegand and Bonnie Wiegand. God so loved Rich Reddick, Lynn Reddick, Austin Gillam. God so loved Steve Spolar, Al Bruno. God so loved Uncle Everett and Audrey. God so loved the world that He gave. He committed His Son that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, never perish, not under any circumstance perish, but have everlasting life. That's a commitment that He made to all them. And you know what? Thank God that He is not like the creature. He never breaks His promises. He never goes back on a commitment that He made. May that be a soul-stirring, heart-warming challenge to each of us, that whenever we make commitment to Him and we give ourselves over to the Son, that we never go back on our commitment. I look forward to the day when we can be together without glasses, without dentures, without hearing aids, without canes, without crutches, without cavities, without gray hair. There'll be no more smelling of Bengay. No more fancy sprays. No more aspirin. There won't be a dentist in heaven. There won't be an undertaker in heaven. There won't be a hospital in heaven. I'm looking forward to the day when we can be together in the presence of our God. Aren't you? What a tremendous gift He has given us in the person of His Son. Our dear Heavenly Father, would You please help us to appreciate You, to adore You, to demonstrate our allegiance to You every day until we see You face to face. We ask in His name, the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.